Hi, Kevin Murphy here. You're listening to Conversations with Kevin, a show about innovation, creativity, product, and purpose. It contains all the ingredients that make up what Kevin Murphy is and what we stand for. So I'm Kevin Murphy, and this is Conversations with Kevin.
Welcome to Conversations with Kevin. I'm Nathan Gorman, and today I have a very special guest, Peter McDonald. For those of you who don't know Peter, or don't know who he is, he's actually our CEO. But one thing I know about you, Pete, is you hold Stylist, the salon, and all of that at the heart of everything you do. So say hi to the audience.
Hello. Hello, hairdressers. Great to be speaking to one of the great hairdressers of our industry, Nathan Gorman. Happy to be here.
Thank you. Now, Buckle your seatbelts. We're in for a ride. So today we're here to speak about tournament. And for our listeners, I just want to cut it into a paragraph. It's an 8-week retail sales competition for salons, for stylists. It's global. It's designed to help salons and stylists actually prosper at holiday time or Christmas, as we say here.
Yes.
There are, of course, many prizes. And we all know that sales competitions are a really great way to boost morale and to motivate team members and to increase sales. But, you know, stylists do thrive in that really fast-paced environment. And I think it's here that these kind of things come into play. It's great to stretch limits and the team's limits as well. But Peter, why should salon owners encourage the team to join?
Not just salon owners encourage their staff to join. It's salon owners themselves motivating themselves to join.
Yeah.
A bit of history how the idea came around is because it harkens back to Session Salon, our Session Salon program. And Session Salon, we're doing hair, we're doing styling and cutting and so on, but the main message around Session Salon is to say that communication, the conversation that happens between a stylist and their client is as important, potentially even more important than the skills of cutting and colouring. And why I say that is because I found out from Session Salon and speaking with Kevin and stylists is that the most successful stylists are the ones that have a natural harmony and a communication with their clients. And so they're the most successful. But how do you as an industry, we teach religiously how to make hair a different shape and colour, and we're teaching cuts, we're teaching colours, we're teaching styling.
Yeah.
But we've completely neglected communication as a skill. One, recognise it as a skill, and then to teach it.
Mm.
So I know I'm going a little bit around the mulberry bush as such.
And listeners, Peter's going to do this today, so that's good.
All right.
We want you to be yourself.
All right, cool. Great. The tournament was really, there's different layers. It's like a layer cake.
Yeah.
The obvious one is that at Christmas time, so between, mid-October coming through till Christmas time, it's the busiest time for salons.
Yeah.
And so just on a purely financial basis, let's just look at it in different categories. Financial. Hairdressers sell more product at that time of the year than any other time of the year. And so we thought, how do we help motivate salons and their staff to sell a lot of product?
Mm.
From what I understand, department stores.
Yeah, like retail.
Yeah. I don't know, is it 50, 60, 70% of their retail is done at that period of the year?
It's like 20 to 30 times their turnover per month in that 1 month.
Exactly. So do you hear what he said? 20 to 30 times more in a month in the retail environment. And so we look at that and thought, how does the hairdressing industry, why shouldn't we benefit from this? We've got the best hair care products on the planet. We've got experts who know all about them. We think, how do we get our industry to benefit from that hyper retail environment?
Yeah.
And so tournament is really is an easy way, or it's a very simple way to get stylists motivated and salon owners motivated.
Mm.
So the most busy time of the year, we want our industry to benefit from that.
Yep.
Because it's, the people that come into the salons, the Kevin Murphy people, those people are absolutely spending a fortune during that period of time.
Well, we know that. I mean, and I always loved Christmas time or holiday time in the salon. The energy was great. It was like a wonderful time. But to be clear, you are actually now on this podcast recording, you are speaking to the stylist and the salon.
Right.
So that's who's listening today. So what we want to do is improve their business at a time where we know that spend is up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to shrink what I just said then is to simply say this. A salon between mid-October to December is the busiest time in retail in the world. There's a limit to how many people you can cut and colour.
Well, I think it starts with like all that Black Friday, as they say in the States, and then it kind of ends with Boxing Day, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So let's do a competition that motivates staff, because there's prizes and things like that, and the salon owners. I mean, why wouldn't you want your staff as busy selling all the products, and clients are happy, so they're using the stuff over the Christmas? That's a given.
Yeah.
But the real thing for us, for Kevin Murphy Group, and for the industry, what we're really after is, because this is a global competition, there's differences between different marketplaces.
Sure.
You know, the Scandinavian market, for instance, is, I'd say they sell more product per person than any other market by a long way globally. Mm-hmm. Why? Mm. And so what we found in the last couple of years is that the hairdressers in, particularly in Scandinavia, it appears as if they've decided, we actually have the best products on the planet in our salons.
Yeah.
We want our clients to have them. So they've just sort of they've just owned that space. So they sell more. And so, which is really interesting.
And do you think there's something in their communication style as well?
Yeah, I really do, absolutely. It's the different marketplaces, how much time they spend on education, on themselves, on the staff, etc. That they do an enormous amount of education. And so I think that helps with communication.
Mm.
And again, I'll keep referring back to the communication, because we keep everything that we learn from doing this competition is the importance of communication.
Absolutely.
And then we have the competition. Everyone makes a lot of money. We've got a lot of happy clients. They're opening up beautiful gifts that we've put together over for that period. But then post, this is for me the key. It's what we do with that information. What do we do when we found out who are the best stylists in the world that work with Kevin Murphy globally?
Sure.
And I looked at it and I think to stylists, wouldn't you like to know how they talk to their clients? Mm. Why is it some stylists can have every one of their clients leaving with shampoos, conditioners and styling products every day?
Mm.
Almost all of them buying products from them. What are they actually doing?
Mm.
What is it that they do that I'm not? You know, and so, and then from a salon owner's perspective, you know, a salon owner, you know, I own a salon, I've got eight staff. If I had eight staff that were busy, cutting and colouring and having really happy clients, but they were most of the clients that my staff dealt with, went home with, you know, a shampoo, conditioner, a treatment, or a shampoo, conditioner, a spray, or whatever, what would that mean for the business?
And to be clear, it's about collecting that information and sharing that information to actually, for the greater good of salons and stylists all around the world.
Bingo.
Yeah.
So the idea is this, we have the sale, you know, we have that focus for that 2-month period. Come the following year, we start interviewing the stylists and ask them, what did you do? What did you say? What is your way of communicating with your clients? That's an individual stylist. And then from a salon owner's perspective, this is I speak to my staff every Thursday morning and I let them know where they're at.
Yeah.
I reward them like this, or we have team meetings every Wednesday night or Thursday. Just to hear what's happening in a salon that's working yesterday, today and tomorrow.
Yeah.
And there's one thing, that there's business coaches and you get all this motivation, and how many people go to a business coach, get so excited and 2 days later forgot what they said. So our theory is we interview all people, you know, salon owners and stylists, and we have a library full of relevant, right today, right now. It's not, it didn't happen 5 years ago. This happens now.
And like, Peter, from the past, it's not about actually the glitziest salon or the biggest or the this or it's that.
Never.
Like, this competition has actually pulled some people out and front and centre that we're like, wow, they are doing an amazing job. A small team, they're in, you know, they're in Adelaide or they're in
30 kilometres
Prague
outside of Adelaide.
Or they're here or they're there and they're doing something very different and their story wouldn't be heard otherwise.
Never.
Yeah.
And it's that I think everyday people so underestimate just how good they actually are until you give them a platform like this.
Yep.
And then they can actually see how they're performing against other salons. Some in a positive way, some in a really negative way, because people are going to go, we have people who start the competition and stop within 2 weeks because they're getting beaten so badly.
Yeah.
Because they're not selling any products and the salon owner's going, oh, I don't want to be a part of this. Or the stylist, I don't care about it. I don't want to be a part of it because I can't win.
Yeah.
That's not the point.
No.
No, but it's, which I'd like for the stylist.
But I can talk to that too because we were a member of tournament and, you know, looking at the leaderboards, which we'll go into for you all later. We'll talk about the structure. But I think one of the best ways to keep your team engaged is one of the most old-fashioned, and it's to have a visualization tool. And you know, we've got the dedicated website, we've got all of that stuff, but actually I found having it out in the back room, pinned up on the cupboard, and everyone did a mark when they sold a product, they'd all navigate out there, they're in the lunchroom, they're having a snack, they're busy, they're like, oh, hang on, this person has more than me. And it really did create that competition and just that kind of mark of a pen, I think, meant a lot for us and our team.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm rapt to hear it.
Yeah.
Actually, you had a good point. The tournament is an ongoing learning process, I hope, for everybody. To finish off what I was going to say before, for salons that get disheartened because they're doing poorly in it.
Yeah.
The advice I would give you, it's not about winning the competition. It's about learning from people.
Yes.
We all have ears, eyes, nose and mouth.
Yep.
Hands.
Yep.
And we all do hair. But so why is it some salons are doing so incredibly well and some are not?
Mm.
And our hope is that the people who aren't doing well go, I'd really like to know what the people who are doing well are doing.
Sure.
And so by pursuing it right to the end, good, bad or indifferent, no matter where you are, at the end of it, when you've got live people who are doing so well, we just feel it's a great opportunity for salons to learn.
Mm.
And then go, why don't I do that? And what does that mean to my business?
Sure.
Sit down with your salesperson and go through, what would that mean to my salon if all of my staff, every client that left with a shampoo, conditioner and a styling product or a hair, you know, whatever it is, what would that mean to my business? The other thing that I really like is that when we talk about the alpha in a normal salon is say five people in a salon. There's usually one.
Oh, we can all picture
busiest.
That person. We know who they are.
Yeah.
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 And that one.
Yeah.
Is booked as soon as they walk in the front door. They're booked, and they have to get out of the salon before someone comes in and wants them to do their hair again.
Yep.
And I was told they're not necessarily the best cutters. They're not necessarily the best colorists. They're okay with styling, but what they are is the best communicators.
Yep.
They rebook everybody, they sell the retail, and they have the most successful careers in our industry.
I would further that, and I've been with you for a very long time, and I know that that's actually what you say, and I agree 100%. But I also think they're not embarrassed to make money.
Exactly.
They work their craft, they know their worth, they're not embarrassed to charge for it, and they sell retail. And they can communicate, of course. Because I think that, you know, we want this industry to go, Pete. It's a passion that we both have.
Yep.
And I think that identifying those people is great. So sure, it's a business initiative. Sure, it's a sales competition. But actually, it's a learning community.
At the end of the day, having access to the business practices and the communication skills of individual stylists the world over that you can learn from.
Yeah.
I hope every hairdressing salon, every salon owner and stylist looks at this for what it really is, and it is a chance to learn from your peers, not from someone who's quit and giving you a business chat, but your peers. What are they doing that's working?
Yep.
And what would that mean for my business? Because it's, as we said before, we would like, you know, when you're confident of your cutting skills and your styling and your colouring skills, you're confident of those things.
Yeah.
And if you're confident of the, you know, your of the things that you're using on that client, you're using them because you like them.
That's right.
And everyone who comes and pays good money to come and sit with you, usually they want what you want because they're like, and they're usually very proud of their stylist. They'll talk to their friends about their stylist.
Sure.
And that, and so if there's a real, the funny thing about this is that the public, when given the information, what you've used and why, and then how to use it, are usually so keen to have it because it's
absolutely. I mean, that's the point. I mean, it's not about like that stylist. They're a great communicator. One of the things that they communicate really well is why you need that product.
Yeah,
and
I
if someone tells
for
me
these reasons
why I need something, if I go and have a facial, then of course I'm going to take it.
Bingo.
I mean, you know, we know that. We know that. You go have a facial, they turn that ugly light on, look at your skin and tell you everything that's wrong with it and how they're going to fix it.
Exactly. And that's that the skin there, the skincare industry is
boomed. And they're really good at it.
Because they actually took their what their craft was and completely professionalised it. So you go into a skincare place, you know you're leaving with a bag of stuff.
Yeah.
And you can't wait to buy it and take it away with you.
Yeah.
The hairdressing industry, we are just as professional, easily as a professional, and actually also have incredibly huge skills with cutting and colouring, you know, using beyond just information. We have skills, physical skills.
Hairdressers are pretty bright. I tell you now, they can actually visualise something in angles, apply that, have a conversation, talk about colour mathematically, all of those things. Hairdressers are pretty bright people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what we're saying with the tournament is that, and what we found in the tournament is the most successful people in this, it's not that they're salespeople. They have the most delightful relationships because they literally tell, oh, you've got, you like, okay, to do that, you're going to need this. And this is how you do it. You got grey hair, which is, you know, it's winter, it's dry as hell. So if you want do you like that dry hair? No. Okay, so this is why we're using this. So take this with you. And then it's like, really? This actually? Yes, that's what you should have. Oh,
yeah.
Put it in my bag. And then they remember you every time they're at home using that product. They're like, my hair just loves me. I know what I'm doing. My hair feels great. I'm going back there. I am loyal to this person. And these are the things that, as an industry,
they actually care about me as well.
Yes, which is the point.
That's right. Okay, so we have a few prizes. I you know, I won't bore listeners with everything but we have a best stylist prize, and that is about finding that best stylist that Peter's talking about. We have the best salon, and that's the individual salon that sells the most products within the 8-week period as well. And then we have the best salon average. Peter, what does that mean, average per stylist?
So, you know, there's a salon with 3 people in it versus a salon with 23 people in it. The person with 23 people in it is going to, just because of pure weight of numbers, is going to sell more product than the 3.
Sure.
Which is not necessarily the case, but, you know, the way we overcame that was to basically divide the total by, if you've got 23 stylists, you divide the whole lot by 23. If it's 3, we divide it by 3. So you get an average and you can win that way.
Yep.
I would say, though, Nathan, you brought something up which I think is absolutely right, and we need to – this program will evolve.
Mm-hmm.
You were saying, you know, you've a salon that we, there was 9 of you, for instance,
mm-hmm.
and you'd want to speak to and hear from other salons in that, you know, 9, 8, 6, 7, 7 staff to 12 staff or something, because you have more an affinity with those businesses. And we haven't done that this year, but we will definitely look at doing that moving forward.
Well, it's a living, breathing thing.
Yeah. So because you want to hear from people where you have a definite connection on a business level.
Like there's peers, grouping peers.
I'm by myself. I want to listen to someone who's by themselves.
Yeah.
I've got 2 staff. I'd like to talk to one with the 2 staff or 3 staff.
Yeah.
If I've got, you know, I've got 15 staff, I want to hear someone who's got from 12 to 20.
Yeah.
So we need to get into those categories and hear what those business people are. Mm-hmm. Again, because the real victory, the real gold, the treasure in this program is sharing information between salon owners and stylists.
And elevating salons and stylists around the world.
The better the better this industry gets. And the more professional we are, the more, kids, parents will say, listen, actually the hairdressing industry is a place to actually go get a job.
Absolutely.
Because it's what a fun industry.
Yeah.
You can make great money in this industry. You've got a great lifestyle in this industry. And it's the only way for us to, I'm pretty sure the best way to make that happen is to make us realise the opportunities we have to look and be more professional. And this is definitely one of the ways to look more professional.
And to not be embarrassed about making money.
Yep. Yep.
Charge for your services, sell product.
Yep.
But by communication and meeting needs.
And care.
So we're on a mission to find those salons, those stylists who are doing this. We want to learn from them. We want to create that global community of those people, celebrate them, share their insights. I mean, it's almost a bit of a cult, isn't it, Peter? No. But as we kind of draw to a close, what would you say to that individual stylist?
Okay.
And look in that camera and talk to them.
Okay. To an individual stylist, I would say this. The most successful stylists in the world, we will find them in this process, in this competition. If you get involved in the competition and you get put off because you're definitely not going to win, you're like 99.9% of the rest of people because there's only a few winners. The opportunity, though, is to actually learn from your peers. And that is, to me, if you love what you do and you want to be really successful at it and make a wonderful living and have people that will never want to leave you, you'll get those tips and you'll understand how to do that, I believe, from what you will learn from your peers from around the globe. So stick with it. And in the months, January, February and March of the following year, after you've interviewed all the winners, listen to them, learn from them. This is a wonderful industry and you'll be so much more successful when you learn from the best.
Thank you, Peter McDonald.
Pleasure.
CEO of Kevin Murphy. It's been a pleasure to have you here. Will you come back to our podcast channel?
You invite me, I'm here.
Okay. This has been Conversations with Kevin. I'm Nathan Gorman. Till next time.